130, Section 2, Juvenile Courts and Justice. As you read, look for juvenile court jurisdiction, the rights of juveniles taken into custody, the steps in the juvenile justice process, the seven deadly sins, terms, reasonable suspicion, regional youth detention center, intake, adjudicatory hearing, dispositional hearing, probation. Juvenile courts have three main areas of jurisdiction: unruly juveniles or status offenders, deprived juveniles, and delinquent juveniles. Juvenile courts also have the jurisdiction to determine if a child needs to be committed for psychological evaluation or treatment for mental incompetency. The juvenile courts have concurrent, jointly held, jurisdiction with superior courts in child custody and child support matters arising from divorce cases and in proceedings to end parental rights. Juveniles who commit certain serious violent felonies are under the jurisdiction of Georgia's superior courts. As you learned in Chapter 5, juvenile court judges are appointed by superior court judges and serve four-year terms. The rights of juveniles. Juveniles handled under the juvenile justice system have the same basic legal rights that other citizens have. These rights are set out in Amendments 1, 4, 5, and 6 of the U.S. Constitution. Juveniles have the right to have their cases decided quickly, just as adults have the right to a speedy trial. Juvenile cases, however, are decided by a judge, not a jury. Juvenile court proceedings can result in imprisonment. As a result, juveniles have all the rights to a fair trial that adults have. They must be notified of the charges against them. They are protected against self-incrimination. They have the right to an attorney. And they have the right to confront and to question witnesses against them. Accused juveniles have the right to present a defense, to introduce evidence, and to testify on their own behalf. Most importantly, juveniles have the right to have a parent or guardian present in all hearings. If a child's parents or guardian cannot afford a lawyer, the court must appoint an attorney to represent the child. Steps in the juvenile justice system. Suppose you have a friend, whom we will call CJ, who has been stopped on suspicion of using a false identification, ID, card, to buy beer and cigarettes. CJ is 14 years old. Let's also say that CJ is charged with using the false ID to cash several checks belonging to other people. This is a serious situation. Possessing a false ID is a crime in Georgia. It may be a misdemeanor or a felony, depending upon how it was used. Persons under age 21 who use a falsely obtained government-issued ID card to enter a bar or to buy alcohol may be charged with a misdemeanor. But using the false ID to cash a check, rent a car, or obtain a credit card is considered a felony. What happens next? A police officer has detained your friend. If the officer has a reasonable suspicion that CJ may be involved in criminal activity, the officer may ask for identification. Reasonable suspicion is something more concrete than a hunch, but less certain than probable cause. CJ does not have to provide any information other than name and birth date. In our example, let's assume that the police officer is able to prove that the identification on the ID card is false. CJ will be placed in custody, rather than arrested, in a regional youth detention center, RYDC, which is a holding facility for juveniles. Intake. A juvenile court officer designated as an intake officer will arrive to make an intake decision. That is, the intake officer investigates the charges and determines the next step in the process. At this point, the intake officer has four options. The officer may 1. Recommend to the judge that the case be dismissed. 2. handle the case through an informal adjustment, setting up counseling and other conditions. 3. Move the case to a child services agency, or 4. File a petition for a detention hearing. The intake officer also determines whether to release CJ into the custody of parents or a guardian, or to detain your friend at the RYDC, where CJ will be fingerprinted and photographed, or some other facility such as a shelter. If your friend is detained, CJ's parents must be notified. In Georgia's juvenile justice system, most juveniles are released into the custody of parents or guardians. Detention hearing. Within 48 hours of CJ being detained at an RYDC, a juvenile court judge reviews the intake officer's report and determines how to handle the case. The judge also decides whether to continue to detain your friend or to release CJ on bail. If the action is to file a petition, a court date is set for the adjudicatory hearing. If CJ is still being detained, the hearing usually takes place within 10 days. If your friend has been released, the hearing takes place within 60 days. Adjudicatory hearing. The adjudicatory hearing is somewhat like a trial. Your friend is there, as is a juvenile court judge, but no jury. Also present are attorneys, witnesses, and parents or guardian. The judge reads the charges stated in the petition and asks CJ to either admit or deny the charges. If your friend denies the charges, the hearing continues. The judge hears the case and decides if the charges that CJ is accused of committing are a delinquent act. If your friend is found not guilty, he is released. If your friend is found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, the court schedules a hearing to determine the consequences. Dispositional hearing. A dispositional hearing is similar to sentencing in adult court. The judge determines the remedy or solution for the offense. Both the prosecutor and the defense can call witnesses and present evidence that might influence the court's plan. The court is charged with doing what is in the best interest of the juvenile and in the best interest of society. The judge has a number of options. The judge may, 1. Release CJ to the custody of parents or a legal guardian with no court supervision. 2. Put CJ on probation. 3. Place CJ in the custody of the Department of Juvenile Justice. 4. Designate CJ a felon who should be confined. 5. Sentence CJ to a youth development campus, YDC, or treatment program, or turn the case over to the Department of Children's Services. Or 6. Transfer the case to Superior Court. Probation is a form of punishment that is served outside of, or in some cases, instead of, confinement. It is not to be taken lightly. Probation comes with restrictions and conditions, and the juvenile's behavior is closely monitored. Those restrictions and conditions may include making restitution, perhaps in the form of a service to the victim, paying a fine, a specific form of education tailored to the juvenile's offense, such as drug counseling, no use of alcohol or drugs, community service, avoiding people with criminal records who would be a negative influence, losing or the suspension of a driver's license or learner's permit, wearing an electronic monitoring device. 7 delinquent behaviors. In 1994, the Georgia legislature passed an amendment to the Georgia Juvenile Code allowing youths who are charged with certain violent crimes to be treated as though they were adults. The 7 most serious crimes, sometimes called the 7 deadly sins, are murder, voluntary manslaughter, rape, aggravated sexual battery, aggravated child molestation, aggravated sodomy, and armed robbery if committed with a firearm. Aggravated describes something that makes the crime worse or more severe. Murder and voluntary manslaughter are the most serious of the seven deadly sins. The difference between the two is that murder is the intentional killing of another person. Voluntary manslaughter occurs when someone takes the life of another person as a result of sudden, violent passion. It is not premeditated, but it does result in the death of another human being. Rape, aggravated sexual battery, aggravated child molestation, and aggravated sodomy all involve forced sexual acts committed without consent on unwilling or underage victims. You should also be aware of the difference between rape and statutory rape. Rape is a forced sexual act committed unwillingly or without consent. Statutory rape occurs when one of the parties has not yet reached the age of consent, 16. The crime of armed robbery occurs when an offender takes the property of another person while using a weapon such as a gun, a knife, or any weapon that can cause serious bodily injury or death. Juveniles between the ages of 13 and 17 who are accused of these crimes are transferred to the jurisdiction of Superior Court. A juvenile who was between the ages of 13 and 16 when the crime was committed can be prosecuted and punished as an adult with a sentence as severe as life in prison. If a defendant is charged with murder and the murder was committed when the defendant was under 17 years of age, the prosecutor cannot seek the death penalty as punishment. Just because a juvenile has been taken into custody for one of the seven deadly sins does not mean he or she will be tried in the adult system. Before an indictment, the Superior Court determines in which court the case will be heard. If convicted of a serious crime in Superior Court, the juvenile may face a minimum sentence and prison time without the possibility of parole. Each person who is found to be involved in the planning of a crime or taking part in some way is considered to be a party to the crime. This applies to those who advise the offender, serve as the lookout, or encourage the criminal activity. It certainly applies to those who stand to benefit from the crime. These individuals can be charged with aiding and abetting. Juvenile responsibilities. Much has been said about the consequences of delinquent or unruly behavior. A more positive approach is to look at the specific actions and attitudes that can guide a young person in staying out of trouble. Figure 13 is a list adapted from the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice. These responsibilities are expected of juveniles who are in rehabilitation in the state's Youth Development Campuses, YDC. The Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice takes a realistic approach. Although delinquent youth make up a small portion of Georgia's youthful population, their behaviors make our agency necessary. Despite their delinquent behavior patterns, this group of youngsters remains a part of the many communities of Georgia. Because they too represent the future of Georgia, they cannot and should not be written off. While rehabilitation of these youth is our primary goal, public safety for the citizens of Georgia is paramount, and juvenile crime must not detract from this. We must not take for granted the many victims of juvenile crime and potential victims who deserve a better quality of life for themselves and their families. Here at the Department of Juvenile Justice, we believe these youth need every opportunity to turn their lives around and become productive citizens. It is our belief that given the right kind of attention and treatment, many of these youngsters can be redirected and that there is hope for them. Commissioner Albert Murray. Reviewing the section, 1. Define reasonable suspicion, intake, probation. 2. What is the difference between an adjudicatory hearing and a dispositional hearing? 3. Why are juveniles treated as adults when they commit certain crimes? Page 135 of Special Interest, Little Known Facts, Prescription Drugs, Tobacco. While most people understand that possession of illegal drugs is a crime, did you know that possessing a prescription drug that does not belong to you is also a crime? Giving a prescription drug to a friend is also unlawful. Only pharmacists and healthcare providers can give another person a prescription drug. Prescription drugs can be powerful medications with serious side effects. Some people may also have allergic reactions to drugs, so taking prescription medication is only safe under the care of health professionals. Georgia law classifies various drugs as Schedule 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, depending on whether or not the drug can be addictive and subject to abuse. For example, Vicodin and Tylenol 3 are Schedule 3 drugs that have a valid medical purpose, but that also have the potential for being abused. If you are taking one of these for pain after surgery, do not share your pills with anyone. You should never accept these pills from someone else if you do not have a prescription for them. Possession of these drugs without a legitimate medical reason is a felony punishable by 1 to 5 years imprisonment. In addition, the sale, delivery, distribution, or possession with intent to distribute a Schedule 1 or 2 drug, ecstasy, methamphetamine, and so on, is a felony punishable by 5 to 30 years imprisonment. Did you know that if you are under 18 years old, you may not purchase or attempt to purchase cigarettes or tobacco-related products? The dangers of smoking are now well documented, and only legal adults can make the decision to smoke without breaking the law. Page 136, Chapter Review. Chapter Summary, Section 1, Juveniles. Juvenile courts handle all cases involving deprived and neglected children under 18 years of age. Delinquent and unruly offenses committed by children under 17 years of age, and traffic violations committed by drivers under 18. A deprived child is a child under age 18 who is without adequate food, shelter, or protection. A guardian ad litem is appointed to represent the child's best interest in court proceedings, where parents' rights may be limited or taken away. An unruly child or status offender is a child who commits an act that would not be an offense if committed by an adult. A juvenile delinquent is someone under age 17 who has committed a delinquent act and is considered to be in need of treatment or rehabilitation. Informal adjustment is used to set up family counseling and a plan of supervision for a child in cases where a minor commits a delinquent act that is not serious or has been unruly. Section 2, Juvenile Courts and Justice. Juvenile courts have three main areas of jurisdiction: unruly juveniles or status offenders, deprived juveniles, and delinquent juveniles. Juvenile courts also have jurisdiction to commit a child for psychological evaluation and treatment for mental incompetency. The juvenile courts have concurrent jurisdiction with superior courts in child custody and child support matters arising from divorce cases and in proceedings to terminate parental rights. Juveniles who commit certain serious violent felonies are under the jurisdiction of Georgia's superior courts. Juveniles have all the rights to a fair trial that adults have. During the intake process, an intake officer investigates the charges and determines the next step in the process. If a juvenile is detained, his or her parents must be notified. Juveniles who are detained are housed in one of the state's Regional Youth Detention Centers, RYDCs. In a detention hearing, a juvenile court judge reviews the intake officer's report and determines how to handle the case. An adjudicatory hearing is somewhat like a trial. If the juvenile pleads not guilty, the judge hears the case and decides whether or not the child is guilty of committing a delinquent act. A disposition hearing is similar to sentencing in adult court. The judge determines the consequences for the offense. Juveniles who are charged with certain violent crimes, murder, voluntary manslaughter, rape, aggravated sexual battery, aggravated child molestation, aggravated sodomy, and armed robbery if committed with a firearm, are treated as adults and fall under the jurisdiction of Superior Court. Page 137 contains a chapter review of Chapter 6.